Friendship in Holland and in our country. In that country, it is possible to learn something new at every visit. At my last visit, I discovered a precious fruit of the Dutch culture, namely friendship. On a Saturday night, I saw plenty of personnel in all our stores. When I reprimanded one of our store managers for employing salespeople, he smiled and explained to me that those people are not employees, but his personal friends who came to help on Saturday night. This is unlike our country, where people come to help a friend only to distill Slivovitz or another local brandy. In Holland, where even on Saturday evenings our stores are still full of customers, the manager's friends comes to help him out of sheer friendship. In Rotterdam, I found among our manager's friends also a wholesaler whose shop was closing at 6 p.m. and so he came to help our store manager, his personal friend. In our towns, however, I encountered quite different manifestations of friendship. When I caught one of our managers sitting and smoking with a man, I asked him if the man was a customer. Embarrassed, he answered, "Yes." I learned later, however, that while being the manager's fast friend, the man was entirely unimportant as a customer. He was spending every free moment, and he seemed to have plenty of them, sitting around our manager's office smoking cigarettes and chattering. Although he hardly had qualities worth mentioning, he even accompanied sometimes our manager on his business trips. Nobody ever saw him doing something useful, the less helping our manager when he was busy. A friend like this never gives but always takes, be it nothing more than precious, irretrievable time. Any clever manager knows that time is money and that for modern men time represents life. A businessman should never make friends among people outside of the business community. The life of a clerk or a functionary with set office hours is entirely different from the life of a businessman. If the latter chooses a friend who works only one third of the day, he is necessarily robbing his business of the remaining two thirds of his own time. It is obvious that his business must suffer greatly. I lived for several years in a town where practically all the businessmen and factory owners were Jewish. While every year many of our people are starting an enterprise, most do not last more than 3 years and often go bankrupt. I found out that almost all these beginners' failure was caused by local society. The factory or commerce owner wanted to imitate the life of the functionaries. He was flattered to be accepted by them and believed it made him a man of higher education. According to the norms of the local society, such a highbrow man is supposed to sit around drinking beer, to go hunting or to take trips, and to tell witty stories having nothing to do with business. All this necessarily distracts him from practical business thinking, and as a consequence, he heads for ruin. The Jewish businessmen behaved quite differently. They were meeting and looking for friends only among themselves. Every minute they spent in each other's company was profitable to them because they talked mainly business and always learned something new and useful for their own business. Our business managers, who are intimate friends with officials or unprosperous business people hanging at their heels, show by such behavior that they prefer idle pleasure and frequent distraction to serious business thinking, and that they do not care too much for their own activity. They are slowly but surely approaching the time when their occupation will stop liking them and ensuring their livelihood.